The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. Again, thank you to the always delightful Vegas Chump for knocking that other source out of my opening routine there at the top. Congratulations to, or I should say thank you to him for correcting me on that. Coming up this hour, Jason Weingarten wrote a great baseball piece at VSiN.com. He'll go through some of his season longs. Cannot wait. How you spend $5,000 when he ended up spending $8,000?
How to best spend $5,000 as long as you've got eight grand.
as long as you've got eight grand. Math was off, but the point remains the same. And Kelly's got some golf thoughts, yes, a little later on?
Yep.
Yeah, we'll do that. And Dr. Bob standing by. Real quick, though, I want to get to these tweets. Skateboarding is a crime. Still not seeing Indian Wells quarter prices anywhere. Skateboarding is a crime. They are available at DraftKings. But I hear what you're saying. The draw was... at 3 p.m. Pacific, the day before yesterday. And so you're talking about just, you know, like, was it 36 hours before the matches start, from the draw to that. And books are kind of slow, right, on rolling out something that is not a slam. I know it's de facto fifth major, but it's not a slam. So DraftKings does have everything. They have quarter prices now. When we did the podcast yesterday, they only had halves. So they didn't do quarters yet, but they have the quarters out yet.
Okay.
MGM in Nevada has quarter prices. That was the only shop here in town as of yesterday that had them. So good on both of those shops, DraftKings, and then in terms of Nevada, MGM.
Are all the books all over it as far as adjusting outright numbers when the draw is released?
Yes.
Like, do they always get taken down and adjusted?
Well, they for a tournament like this, they didn't put them up before the draw.
Oh, okay.
They were not available anywhere. Yeah, it's not like a slam. But just like even first round matchups today, the schedule, the order of play till last night wasn't really clear either. So you didn't, like, for those of us who handicap the matches, we're like, okay, I don't want to do extra work. Like, I don't want to do every first-round match, which lasts, you know, two days. Just tell me the ones. So that it's a whole thing. It's like tennis is not the most efficient in that regard, to say the least. This is from, Brett says also, I got quarter prices last night at BetMGM. And this also from Eddie Vegan Runner. Will you be taking the Wu-Tang out for sushi? Can you imagine that?
All right. Well, if we're able to take the entirety of the Wu-Tang Clan out for a sushi dinner, will you reveal the name and location of the sushi restaurant?
Not when they're with us afterwards.
But correct. Yeah. If we take them out.
Yes.
Okay.
I like how you're like, if we take, so you'll get the sushi place too. I see what you did there. You wedged into the
sushi. Well, I'm not missing dinner with Wu-Tang Clan.
Well, sushi though, Kelly, you understand.
I will go anywhere for dinner. I don't really care. I'm trying to do that for the audience.
No. I already said with the sushi place, it will be revealed on this show eventually.
Okay.
That's my promise.
I mean, I'll go to Bacon Nation with Wu-Tang Clan. Like, maybe we just walk over there. I don't know.
I like Bacon Nation.
Good spot.
I always say
we enjoyed a very romantic breakfast there.
We did. It was very romantic. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, he is not a practicing physician, but he is Dr. Bob Stoll. And you can follow him at drbobsports.com, drbobsports on Twitter. He joins us now. How you doing, Bob?
I'm all right. Getting ramping up, getting busy, conference tournaments and NCAA tournaments. So fun time of year, but super busy.
Let me ask you this. Historically, conference tournaments, and I know you're good at a lot of stuff, Bob, here, handicapping-wise, pioneer that you are in this industry, but conference tournaments in basketball have always been top of the list. Why? Why do you believe that to be the case?
I just think there are certain factors in conference tournaments that don't necessarily come into play in the regular season. And there's a few things I'll touch on as we talk about some things to look for. But, you know, it's a second chance for a lot of teams that have been disappointing all year. And if there's, you know, team has been struggling and maybe they've lost their mojo or lost their, you know, enthusiasm, all of a sudden the conference tournament comes like, hey, we have one more shot, let's go. You know, and some teams that underperform do well. There are just certain patterns that have come across over the years that I think are very different in the conference tournaments than other times of the year. And I've, you know, identified those patterns and play them. And they tend to work. Last year was actually a rare losing season in the conference tournament. I think it was like 21 and 23 or something. It wasn't a disaster, but It was the first time I'd had a losing record in the conference tournaments in some time. But still, it's 55.5% over 17 years and 700 plays. So it's still been a good time of year for me.
Okay, let's talk about some of their plays, and maybe some of these concepts will come up in this. What play would you want to start with here?
I don't know if I want to do a play. I played Radford this morning at -4. It's -4, -4.5 when it was released this morning. It's up to 5, which is still fine on Radford. And Radford was a situation coming off a 9-point loss in the previous game. Upstate was coming off a win in their most recent game. It's one of the basic trends. Teams coming off a loss in the regular season finale tend to do better relatively when facing a team coming off a win, obviously. Just going back to 1991, there's been about 1,600 games where teams coming off a loss and a team's coming off a win. And the teams coming off a loss are 53.2% against the number over 1,600 games. So just something simple like that. That's not like, oh, play on every single team coming off a loss. I've identified when to do that. And the situation that favored Radford was 205, 103, and 6 against the number since 1991. So it's a subset of that general idea. But just in general, it's something to look for. Teams coming off a loss against a team coming off a win, 53.2% blind. That's worth about a point. If you're doing handicapping based on power ratings or whatever, then, you know, if you get a team off a loss versus a team off a win, add a point to the team off a loss in general. So, but Radford is in a particularly good subset of that idea. And so I took Radford this morning, and I think they get up to -5.
Let me touch on something. So what Bob is just talking about here is he has a database. So he does his modeling of sports, and then he has what he refers to as technical analysis, which we call trends. But he has databases that go back way far back. He also keeps his own records on this. And you will oftentimes come on this show, regardless of sport, basketball or football, and you will talk about some broader ones specifically, and you will actually give us the information. And then there are some subsets that you will not reveal because they are oh so good or so dear that you don't want to give up that intellectual property. Is there a golden rule of that, or like how what percentage of I don't know the way to sort of characterize it, but what are you thinking in terms of what you give away and what you don't, basically?
Well, I think it's just easier. I mean, people listen on the radio. It's just easier to give the general concept and part, like, you know, team off a loss versus team off a win. I'll talk about double revenge in a minute. Than it is to give the specifics of something. I mean, there might be 7 or 8 parameters, you know, in a situation like the Radford one that goes from 53% over 1,600 games to something that's 205 and 103 against the number, 300 games. There's a couple more additional things that come into play for the Radford play. And I don't necessarily, two reasons. I don't, you know, too much information sometimes. And also, I don't want to give away those specifics that make it a very good situation.
Makes sense. Basically. What was the double revenge you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, basically, I hear this all the time. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Oh, this team, you know, this team's beaten this team twice. The other team's got double revenge. And people, I hear all the time, oh, it's hard to beat a team 3 times. No, it's not. It's not at all. And I don't know if because the public likes playing double revenge that the odds makers shade the line 0.5 or something. But every double revenge team, you know, there are over 2,000 in my database. In conference tournaments with a team at double revenge, it's 48% against the spread. So if you're thinking bet a team because they have double revenge, that's not a reason to bet a team. And it's even worse for the double revenge team if it had 3 or fewer days off between games to prepare for the team that had trouble with. Then it drops down to 45% against the number if you've had 3 or less days off to prepare for the team you've lost to twice. So I'm not saying bet on teams that have beaten a team twice. I'm just saying, if your reason to bet on a team is double revenge, that's not a reason. So just be mindful of that. Another thing we've talked about in the past are bad teams. And I kind of, you know, talked about this a little bit in the opening, is like, you know, teams that kind of get a reboot. Like, we've sucked all year.
Yeah.
You know, we can't wait for the season to be over. And then you get the conference tournament, like, hey, wait a minute, we got one more chance. Let's pull it together. Bad teams that have been really bad in conference, teams with a conference win percentage of less than 150 are 149, 102, and 3 against the number in the conference tournament. If you isolate that down to, you know, only facing teams that have a conference win percentage of greater than 400, so a team that's more likely looking to the next opponent rather than focusing on this crappy team that they're about to play, then the win percentage gets over, you know, 62% against the number. And there's a couple other steps. I'll lay one more on you. If the team that's really struggling in the conference, sub 150 win percentage in conference, also has a losing spread record for the season, meaning they've underperformed, then the record goes to 104-57 against the number. If facing a team greater than 400 in conference. So you got a decent to good team opponent, likely looking ahead to the next game. This team's coming in like 2-18 in conference or something, sub 150. The decent team is looking ahead to the next round. And if that bad team has underperformed all year, and as you probably heard before in postseason play priors, how good a team is supposed to be coming into the season, have a little bit more weighting in the postseason than they do at the end of the regular season. That comes into play. If you've had a losing spread record, then you're underperformed your prior, and you're likely to play a little bit better. Teams like Detroit last night was an example, 1-19 in conference and only lost by 4 as a big dog in their conference tournament game last night. So those are things to look for. Really bad teams.
Love
don't
that,
just say
Bob.
This team sucks. Yeah, I mean, that's just
love
one of
that.
Those things. Like,
We got to run, but I just want to point out also the double revenge thing also applies in the NFL too, right? Like everybody always says that in the NFL. Like, it's really
like every sport.
Yeah. Yeah. Most famously, of course, when an NFL team goes and meets in the playoffs after having lost twice to that team in the regular season. Thank you, Bob. Enjoy the tournament, sir. Appreciate it.
Will do, buddy.
The great Dr. Bob at drbobsports.com, drbobsports on Twitter. Kelly with some golf thoughts on the other side. Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free Visa Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter...
Oh, man, we got a lot. We got a lot of tennis that we're rolling through for you. We've got a lot of long shots preview. Pod's up now, by the way, if you want to check that out. All kinds of things. And, of course, Jason Weingarten.
Jason Weingarten.
How to spend $5,000
if
you have $8,000.
Zach Cohen with his tennis thoughts, as you said. Tennis thoughts, but Zach Cohen specifically, yeah. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit visa.com/newsletter to subscribe. Bobby Getty's on Twitter. I paused ANG for a work meeting, and when I resumed it, the first thing I heard was the Wu-Tang Clan might come on to discuss March Madness. Forget Samo bombs or Woj bombs. That's a Gil bomb. Also, awesome Indian Wells podcast. Oh, thank you for that. Again, shout out to Drew Densick, who is the host of two podcasts, The Deep Dive and, of course, Bet the Edge at NBC Sports, which he does with Andy Molitor and Jay Croucher, respectively. Does a great job. But, like, his willingness to come off the slopes to do a tennis pod in Aspen was fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good point because I think that dude's still working. I've seen all three podcasts. Megapod and the other two that he's done in the past 24 hours.
He did say, like, he goes, don't worry about the lifts. The lifts just stopped 5 minutes ago, so I could get, like, that would have been the real test. If the lifts were still operating, would he have still done it?
Well, that's why he wasn't on the show yesterday on a numbers
game. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, man's got to ski.
Prime skiing time.
Man's got to ski. Real quick, my tennis plays again. We'll get to Kelly's golf plays again. Indian Wells, tennis's best tournament besides the Slams. And if you've never been, by the way, this is one of these great tournaments. It's in the middle of the desert. It's a tough drive, but if you can somehow figure out a way to fly in.
Is that part of why when you were talking about the schedule being weird, like it's like, well, they all got to come to the desert anyways. They'll play whatever we tell them to play.
We talked a little bit about that on the podcast yesterday, how, like, strangely last year, like, Iga played all her matches during the day. Whereas typically you would put her on at night.
Right.
So I don't know if her, like, if, and Drew was like, I don't know if they asked for that or whatever.
Oh, yeah, maybe they do that.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they ask the players for preferences.
I don't think that they do typically, but this is one of these. This is a tournament where it plays so much different during the day than at night. Being in the desert, wind can always be a factor. Temperatures are so completely different. But my plays again, Iga to win on the lady side at plus 270. Naomi Osaka to win her quarter. At 10-1, we've seen flashes from Naomi. Flashes. Let's see if she can get it together and win her quarter. It's the Coco Golf quarter that she's in. I got her at 10-1 at MGM here in Nevada. Rafa to win it all at 38-1. This is, let's see, Rafa's won hardcourt tournament here before the clay season begins, where obviously he's trying to win tournaments for reals, including the French. But I got Rafa here at 38-1. Slow hardcourt here. So this plays into Iga's strengths. It plays into Rafa's strengths. And then as far as matches today, again, I mentioned the men's play, Dominic Kepfer. I wouldn't play it anymore. I got it at -122. These are all available at VSiN.com/picks on a daily basis for subscribers. But I always mention that if the matches still haven't gone when we're doing the show, and here, when the matches are in the United States, that will be the case. I'll give them out on the show. But as far as the men's play, that price is way out of whack now. I would not play it anymore. Dominic Kepfer's in the -140, so I wouldn't play that. But the three ladies' matches are in play. Daria Seville is actually, I got a better price last night, +111. She's in short minus money. I would still play that over Bernarda Pera. I don't think Pera's very good at all right now. And I do have Tatiana Maria over Arantxa Rus. That's +105. And Katie Valenets is the long shot here, +235 against the great young Mira Andreeva. But Katie Valenets' hardcore numbers, sneaky good.
The back to the court and conditions.
Yes,
the stuff always fascinates me.
Yes,
that. But the okay. So you talked about the wind, because that makes sense. Desert, whatever. You're gonna have wind at night. It's gonna get cooler.
If
at
they
night.
Had this tournament last week, I don't know if they could have played it. That's
right,
how windy.
Right.
It was.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But the as far as day to night, is there something to do with the court surface heating up from the sun?
Yeah. Plays.
Does that make it faster?
Well, makes it cooler at night.
Right.
Yeah. So let's put it this way. Medvedev, who's like one of these hardcore purists, like Bublik is, like they get so annoyed if anything's not hardcore tennis. Medvedev spent the entire tournament at Indian Wells last year complaining, "This isn't a hard court because it's so grainy."
Right. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So based on the conditions, it'll play differently. Right. And so certain players love it faster, and certain players love it when it's
right,
slower.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is just one of those where players can take some time. Like if they're playing during the day and then all of a sudden they get a night match, it takes them a while to figure out. By the way, Andy Roddick tweeted out something yesterday that the tennis balls look awful.
Oh, that's interesting.
So now there's a whole sort of minor controversy with that. Who knows what that means?
Okay, another one. On the faster surfaces, hard courts, grass, typically.
Grass, yeah.
I always think of it when it's a faster surface, I always think that mostly affects service. But is that not the right way to think about it?
Everything of right. Service is affected either way. But yes, if you're right, if
like when you're handicapping,
a serve will be mitigated by slower courts, right?
Right.
Yes. So that's exactly right.
So that it is a little bit more impact. Like you're looking at some of the better servers on the faster surfaces because they're going to get a little bit of extra benefit from that.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
Just like, one aspect of the whole thing, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't know if it was then, okay, it doesn't matter, though, because the guys with a good forehand, backhand, you know, I don't know.
Just taking it to the extreme. It's why a guy like Isner, right, went and played the match at Wimbledon that lasted 3 days.
Yeah. Because he's ace, ace, ace.
Because he's a serve bot. He can't return either. So that match against, his name?
Karlovic. I always forget.
Yeah. But that's why they changed all the rules, right, for instance. Anyway, these are all tennis considerations with the courts. And so it's why when you...
Mahut.
What's that?
Nicholas Mahut.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I said something else. That's why when you're handicapping this stuff, clay numbers versus hardcourt numbers, completely different sports almost.
Right.
For some of these players.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. You got golf?
Yeah. Arnold Palmer Invitational. Let's roll, baby. Long shots up now. Check it out. Matt West and myself roll through the whole tournament. We're back to a signature event. As if you were listening to us earlier, Sian Dejad went through a bit. We are at, I believe it is 69 players in the field, not 70. He had mentioned 70, but I think it is. It's the top 50 and then some other exceptions that are coming into the tournament. The only person who's not playing, though, in the top 50 is Tony Finau. So I do believe the field right now is currently 69 players. It's a signature event, so I don't think there's anybody that would get bumped up. But if you're really worried about that, you can go and check. This is the same rules as we talked about with the last one. We still have a cut, but it is top 50 in ties and 10 within the lead. And at a tough course like Bay Hill, it might be interesting to see how many people end up actually missing the cut here. Another thing to factor into your handicapping and bets and all that. We're at Bay Hill. This is about as tough as golf gets throughout the season without being at a major. Going to be a true test basically all the way around. Sia mentioned it. The only thing that you can kind of, you don't need to worry about too as much here is around the green. That works out to basically a PGA Tour average course with around the green statistics. But this is a really tough test off the tee. You got narrow fairways, some really penal rough that you're hitting into, a lot of water on the course. Approach extremely important this week in everything that you're doing, everything you're looking at. This is another one of those events that you either need to be long off the tee or hit your long irons well, and you almost definitely need to hit your long irons well. So if you're looking at specific golfers to target this week, Sia Nijad brought up a couple of these guys too, but you're hitting over 30% of your approach shots for the tournament or over 200 yards. So you want to make sure your guys are good with the long irons. Other one I'm going to bring up real quick, weather. We're in Florida still. Make sure to check in on that. It looks like right now Thursday and Friday are going to be pretty calm, but then the weekend's supposed to get nasty. So keep that in mind for what you're betting this week. What I landed on, I have three outrights. I do think I'm going to add Will Zalatoris, though, here and take a shot on him. I've heard Sia brought him up. Matt Brown brought him up on long shots. I do agree with those guys. I'm not so aggressive. I'm still a little concerned about him coming back from the injury. I'm not going to go too heavy on top 20 or matchups or anything like that, but I'll probably take a little bit of an outright shot on him. Outrights I did bet. Xander Schauffele, Cameron Young, Corey Connors. Xander Schauffele, he's been playing great this year. T4 Genesis, T9 Farmers, T3 Amex, T10 Century, living in that top 10 range. So I added a top 10 bet on him as well. Not a ton of course history here. Hasn't played the tournament a whole ton. So a little bit of a concern, but not enough to keep me away from him. Cameron Young is a guy who's had success here in the past. T10 last year, T13 2022, playing very well recently. T3 Cognizant, T16 Genesis, T8 at Phoenix, third in Dubai. Sia mentioned him. I love him this week. Bet on outright, bet him in the top 20 market. Corey Connors, he was a bit of a surprise model result. I haven't played him in a while, but really kind of popped in the numbers that I was running here. Has a good course history here, so did play an outright him in a longer number at 60-1, and then a top 20 on him. And Adam Scott, who's been cruising this season, top 20 bet there. And Scotty Scheffler, it's top 10. I might just keep betting that almost every single week. Here,
auto bet on Scheffler.
It really is. I was actually surprised the number was that good on him this week. You can find him minus 140 range right now. I think it's still a good game.
By the way, Rybakina, great serve, great on grass, won Wimbledon. Iga, power forehand, maybe the best on tour, can power through the clay. Also, gets to every ball, so that extra time she's afforded on clay, she gets to everything. Jason Weingart, baseball season long's next. Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
ANG. What you're going to do is VSiN.com/subscribe. You're going to be prompted for a promo code. You're going to type that in, ANG. The easiest way to remember it is it's just like this show, A Numbers Game, ANG. Gil Alexander finishes.
You got all day, man. Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. That's $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Current temperature at Bar Canada here at the D. Bar Canada. The barrage, roughly 86 degrees with 100% humidity.
If our show was 3 hours, I'd be losing a layer right now. I might even have to for the last segment. It is hot.
Might take off the quarter zip? Wow.
Yeah.
It is hot. It is humid.
Yeah.
It's playing hard, everybody. This, by the way, just want to read this one tweet before we get to Jason. This is from Jack Hannon. J.J. McCarthy wowed everyone at the Combine. Meet the new Zach Wilson, he says. So I have a buddy, Juan, back in D.C., and Juan is...
It sounds so right. It sounds so fitting. I don't know why.
My buddy Juan in D.C. went to Michigan.
Yeah.
And so he is the master of the half-baked sports fan ridiculous bet. So, okay. Like, he'll call me and be like, this is years ago. He'll call me from across the country. Gilly, tell me, who was it that Mike Tyson beat in the shortest flight in, like, 30 seconds? And I go, Marvis Frazier. He goes, incorrect. It was Michael Spieth. I go, no, it was Marvis Frazier. It was the shortest. He goes, never mind. Click. Right. So he's always like, that's good. That's the kind of guy he is.
So he was out at the bar with his buddies. They got in an argument over it. He called up his friend who he knew would know.
Yes.
Got the wrong answer and just hung up immediately. Hung up.
That's
yeah,
it. Exactly. So the other day he says, J.J. McCarthy is going to end up after all these quarterbacks come out in this draft, he says, J.J. McCarthy is going to have the best career of all of them. And I said, better than Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and everybody else in this draft. Penix, Nix. He goes, yes. I go, how much do you want to bet? He goes, $20. I'm like, okay, Juan, you're on. So that's our bet.
Hey, man, at least he was willing to put anybody up.
That's our 15-year bet for $20. There you go. Big high-stakes thing.
Oh, that's great.
Jason Weingarten just completed a manifesto at VSiN.com, and I do mean a manifesto. It's called How to Spend $5,000 at DraftKings on MLB Futures Bets. We did the math. He bet $8,000. What do you have to say for yourself, Jason?
Sounds like a fun Tuesday.
Man, this is a great piece you did, and I'm glad you were saving it all for the online. I don't want to give away the entire article, of course, because I want people to go and read all your different bets. But can we cherry pick a few? How about that? Let's do.
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
Let's do NL MVP. You actually have a long shot on this.
Yeah, you know, so that the thing with the MVP races, and we were talking about this, I think you and me, talking about this with the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Like, a lot of times, you're always a year too early.
That's me.
A lot of guys. And you bet them at big odds, and then, you know, you come back, and now all of a sudden, they're like Wembanyama's probably not going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but he's going to win next year. He's going to be like 4-1. There's going to be no value.
He's going to win the next 10 years is what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I look up at the top of the board in the NL MVP race. I see Acuna. Like, obviously, he deserves to be the favorite. You got the three-headed monster on the Dodgers. Obviously, they deserve their numbers. But, like, none of those are very exciting. You know, and even in the 10 and the 20 range, I'm not excited about any of these guys, honestly. The best guy I could find, one of my favorite players, O'Neal Cruz, 100-1. I'm not saying he's going to win MVP. I'm just saying he has the talent profile that, you know, he really shouldn't be 100-1, and I'm sure that's not even the best number out there, to be honest.
Now, we're just to clarify, we're talking O'Neal Cruz, not Ellie Dela Cruz, because people will make that mistake.
I'm very pro O'Neal over Ellie. In fact, there's a home run prop at DraftKings, a head-to-head O'Neal versus Ellie home run prop. I love that too. I think O'Neal Cruz is the absolute right side on that one too.
All right. O'Neal Cruz, Pirates, Ellie Dela Cruz, Reds, by the way. We're talking O'Neal Cruz here. Okay. Now your AL MVP thoughts, you've got me convinced to bet this. Explain for folks.
Are we talking about Juan Soto or who are we talking about?
I'm talking about Jose Ramirez.
Oh, yeah. Jose Ramirez. Cause I gotta say, I think Juan Soto should be the favorite over Aaron Judge. Juan Soto, you know, is just probably the all-around best player in baseball. Wouldn't surprise me to see him, you know, win the award this year, kind of in a similar fashion to how Acuna won it last year. But Jose Ramirez, 25-1, is the definition of I get no respect. How is Bobby Witt 15-1? How is Gunnar Henderson 15-1? Those guys barely been in baseball for a year, 2 years. You got Jose Ramirez 25-1 on a team that might win the division. You know, a guy who's put together a Hall of Fame career, a legitimate, you know, every year in, year out, all-star, 25-1. I think that's crazy.
I agree. That is nuts. Like
his numbers, if I did like one of those A-B blind things and said which one's Mike Trout projection, which one's Jose Ramirez's projection,
totally,
you'd probably be surprised which one is which.
Yeah.
He's 25-1.
25-1 on Jose Ramirez of the Guardians, available pretty much everywhere. Shop around again. You might get a tick better in some other spots. 25-1 over at DraftKings. By the way, back to Wembanyama, because Lord knows I don't want to miss an opportunity to talk about him. I was unaware till yesterday. So I put out the clip of us talking about, or me going nuts about Wembanyama yesterday. And again, let me just say this, because people are going to throw this on me. I actually have never in all of this said you should go out, run out and bet him. I have a bet on him from preflop from before the season starts. I don't know that he's going to win this, but what I'm pointing out is the ridiculousness of people unwilling to have the conversation about how they've just given it to Gobert when all of the numbers are so clearly pointing to Wembanyama as by far the best defensive player in the NBA. I did not know, Jason, that you And Preston, our buddy Preston Johnson, both had Wembanyama from preseason as well.
Yeah, you know, I don't watch a ton of basketball, but before the season started, that was a large topic of conversation, was Wembanyama and what he could accomplish and how good he is. And no surprise, my group chat with Preston right now, we are also talking about Wembanyama and his chances of winning, mm-hmm. and posting clips from Twitter. And, you know, we're all very much pro Wembanyama winning here. I also agree with you. I don't think he's going to win, but right. at least we have to have the conversation.
We have to have the conversation. It's ridiculous, the group thing. All right, back to baseball then for a second. The Braves to miss the playoffs, 9-1. Give me the path for that.
All right, so I'm probably throwing away money here. I'm very much admitting that of all the bets I made, you know, that is very likely the one that is just going straight into the garbage. But when you look at the National League East, I feel the same way about the National League East as I do the American League East. You know, you got the Braves, the Phillies, the Mets, the Marlins, the Nationals. I think everybody except the Nationals goes into the season thinking they have a team that's good enough to make the playoff, you know, and you don't get the balanced schedule anymore where you just get to beat up on the Nationals or the Pirates or the Rockies all those extra times. You know, you got to go out there and play. You got to go out there and play everybody. The Phillies think they're going to make playoffs. The Mets think they're going to make playoffs. The Marlins think they're going to make playoffs. Somebody is going to have to miss. You know, I mean, just you can't. No matter how many teams the baseball lets in the playoffs every year, somebody's going to get left out. And, you know, the rotation is great, but Max Fried got hurt last year. Spencer Strider's avoided a whole lot of injury stuff early in his career. You got Chris Sale. I mean, Chris Sale hasn't pitched 200 innings since like 2017 or something. So you just have a lot of potential pitchers that can hurt this team. There's a lot of room for regression, and Phillies, Mets, Marlins, I mean, crazy things have happened. Maybe at the end of the season, the Braves are just one or two games out of the playoffs and they did the best they could. I thought 9-1 was a reasonable price. I do think I'm probably throwing away money, but you know, I like long shot.
9-1 is 9-1. And then part and parcel with that, most regular season wins by any team. This obviously applies to the Dodgers and the Braves, top of the list here. You went under 106.5.
Yeah, you know, I think it's possible that the Dodgers, maybe the Braves, you know, maybe the Astros, somebody gets close. But I don't think in the way the modern MLB is structured that you have an incentive to win 110 teams. I think it's actually, or 110 games, excuse me. I think it's actually worse to win so many games, because then you set up these expectations when you lose in the first round of the playoffs. Oh, they weren't that good. They were just a regular season team, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of teams realize that the value of the 100 or 105th win is no longer meaningful at all.
Yeah, we'll talk about the incongruence of baseball momentarily. Jason, hang around. Let's do more of these. Jason Weingarten, his MLB season longs. Again, check out the whole article, including Jason's specialty, all the rookies he's got isolated at VSiN.com. More with Jason on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. On DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets, that is, if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, I'm playing hurt. I have a splinter in my right hand suddenly. I don't know how I got it. And I just want to ask you the question. What do you think is the, by proportion, now obviously if you break a leg, if you rupture your Achilles, yeah. whatever, by proportion, what is the smallest thing that could happen on your body that proportionally causes the most pain?
I don't know. Yeah, I know you have an answer loaded for
yes,
this.
Yes, I do.
But like,
I have an answer loaded.
I did suffer. I suffered a splinter like 6 months ago,
yes.
and it felt like the first time in like 20 years.
Yeah.
And I was by the end laughing at myself of how much pain I felt like I was in, where
really
I was like,
does.
Why is this such a pain?
It's fascinating that I can do this. The answer is, do you ever get like one of those, I don't know if this is the correct term.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going.
Canker sore
that
in
you
your
keep
mouth.
Biting over and over
You don't
again?
Even have to bite it. But just that little thing, if it just happens, you get them once in a blue moon, right? causes such a disproportionate amount of pain that you marvel at. You're like, how could this little thing do this to me?
You're right.
I had an answer loaded.
You're right. That is the correct answer, though.
It's brutal.
Especially if I got a few drinks in me. I forget it's there. I've chomped down on. Oh, man.
Jason Weingarten, kind enough to rejoin us. Jason, before we get back to your wonderful piece at VSiN.com, which, again, is entitled, I love it, How to Spend $5,000 at DraftKings on MLB Futures Bets, Coligard Classic. Do you have a play? People want to know.
I started looking at the Coligard Classic. As you know, it's my my favorite sponsored event on either the PGA or PGA Champions Tour. I mean, it's just I'd love to be involved with this event, just to walk around talking about the Coligard Classic all weekend. It's just I don't know. I just love senior golf so much. This is such a perfect sponsorship for them.
It is. It's on brand is what it is.
The problem with the senior golf, the Champions Tour golf, is you got Steve Stricker and Stuart Sink and Patrick Harrington playing and Steve Alker too. But those guys usually kind of, they're always like 4-1, 7-1, pretty short odds up top. I did take one sort of punt bet this week just for some fun. I bet $100 on Fred Couples at 80-1. You never know. I mean, he still wins every once in a while on the senior tour, but I think he's actually won at this course too. I have to go back and check that. It's been a while since I've done research on senior tour golf, but Fred Couples 80-1 stood out to me, so I took a little bet on that for some action.
Jason does not have a piece called How to Spend $5,000 at the Coligard Classic at VSiN.com. He does not have
You need a lot of accounts to get $5,000 down on a Coligard Classic future.
That's right. We just like saying.
Can I say one more thing, though?
Please, of course.
Is there a worse job in America? This goes back to the mailman thing. I'm really interested in this, though. The guy who works on the route dropping off the Coligard samples. That has to be the job that you get when you're in trouble in the mailman, right? Like, they send you to drop the poo samples off every day. That's got to be the worst job in America, right?
Yeah, it's up there. We'll have to do a more deep thought into it. But yeah, I would imagine that's on the short
list. Yeah, but you get paid more for that, though. You know?
But you're in a mail van full of poo samples all day. What an awful picture to paint, you know?
Thanks for using the technical term poo. I think we all appreciate that, Jason. Thank you for that. Back to your MLB piece. This is music to my ears, my eyes. I made this bet too. You've got the Giants to make the playoffs at +190. I didn't get quite that number. I got +178 a few days back. What do you like there?
I like their moves all the offseason. I think Jung-Hoo Lee could be pretty good. I love Jorge Soler. He's slotting into the cleanup spot. They got Matt Chapman, I think, at a fantastic price. I'm shocked nobody else wanted him. And they have a decent pitching staff. Jordan Hicks being converted into a starter is kind of one of those things I think is pretty interesting. And Robbie Ray comes back midseason. You know, you're not going to get a ton out of him, but that's helpful. You don't know what other moves they still might make, adding another pitcher here or there. But I really like the way the Giants sort of work the fringes of their roster, and they're always getting better kind of quietly, the way the Dodgers did when Farhan Zaidi was there.
Yes.
They were picking up the Max Muncys, and you're like, what are they doing with Max Muncy? And then 5 years later, we're like, Max Muncy going to be a Hall of Famer? You know, like, it just, that's what they're doing with San Francisco right now. So I enjoy watching it, even though, you know, I'm sort of a Dodger fan. But yeah, I think it's a good team. Wouldn't surprise me to see them make playoffs. I don't think they're going to compete head to head with the Dodgers, but we said that 2 years ago and they won the division. So
they won 107. Crazy. Yeah, they won 107 that year. In Farhan, we trust. I'm glad you brought that up. But that is getting back to, you know, that play on the Giants to make the playoffs. It needs to be stated, right? They're the perfect example of a team, obviously the Dodgers in their division, where you can bet them reasonably to make the playoffs. And it's more reasonable after that, and I know degrees of reason, right? But it's more reasonable to bet them to win the NL and the World Series than it is to win their division, right? Because it's, again, the obvious baseball, 162 games in that division. You're not going to beat the Dodgers over that big of a span, most likely. But once you get in a postseason tournament, if you get in a postseason tournament, anything is possible. That's the nature of baseball at this point. The incongruence between that lengthy of a regular season and the best of three followed by best of five playoff format. So it's just that way. Before you go, two season win plays. You have pulled the trigger on a couple. What did you like?
I took the Angels under 72.5 wins. I bet that. I actually bet that a couple weeks ago. That was one of my first bets. I just don't like the makeup of this team, and until they prove otherwise, I think they're still a bunch of losers, essentially. You know, the onus is on them to prove they're not. The other one I like is the Nationals over 66.5 wins. I think that was at even money, so I like that even better. They should be able to stumble into 67.5 wins. Their opening day lineup might not be the most exciting, but they got Dylan Cruz, James Wood expected to hit the lineup later this season. Good things are happening for the Nationals. They're still probably, like I say, a year away from being a year away, but they're getting closer, and they should see improvement on the field this year. I think they were a team that was getting better, you know, as the season went on last season, even if the record didn't indicate it necessarily.
Okay, and then I lied. Well, we'll do a couple of these props here that you have here. Judge 44.5 home runs. What'd you come up with there?
Under. We talked about it. His toe injury. The guy's on the record talking about having the toe injury and needing constant maintenance and, you know, swing mechanics. I've talked about that. These little things add up. I'm not saying he's not going to still probably hit close to 40 home runs, but a stint or two on the IL, you know, some maintenance, keeping him fresh. And that 44.5 number is a little high, you know, and he could blow through it too. But I think, like we just talked about, the regular season is not as important as being healthy for the postseason.
And you took Ohtani 2-1 head to head versus Judge on homers.
Yeah. Similar thinking. I think Ohtani 2-1, considering he's only going to be a designated hitter this year and only has to focus on hitting. Well, Judge still has to play the outfield and he'll be a DH sometimes, but you know, I think this is more, I think Judge has a higher chance of spending significant time on the injured list this year than Ohtani, because Ohtani just has to pitch. I'm sorry, just has to hit.
Yeah. Jason has tons of these, by the way, tons of plays at VSiN.com in this article. We're not even scratching the surface. Of all of your home run totals plays, including the Judge under, is there one you like above the rest?
I like Jorge Soler over 28.5. I think that's a little short considering he's probably the everyday cleanup hitter for the Giants. You know, if he gets 600 at bats, I think 30 is probably closer to where I would have his projection. I wouldn't be surprised to see him hit over 30. I don't love to bet unders, and overs. I surprisingly bet 1, 2, 3, 4. Four of my six plays were overs this year. So I did find some value in some overs, and that just means these guys got to stay healthy.
Jason, appreciate it as always. Again, like we said, VSiN.com for this piece, how to bet $5,000 on MLB futures over at DraftKings. We didn't touch on all the home run props he has. He has six total totals plays on home runs. He's got pitching props. We didn't even mention rookies, which is Jason's bread and butter from years past. So he has thoughts on both AL and NL Rookie of the Year, all of that. And, of course, still to come, how to bet $50 on the Colegard Classic. We look forward to that. Jason, thank you, as always.
Pleasure. Had a great time. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good day.
The great Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. We didn't mention that. At Spreadopedia on Twitter, where he is always witty and pithy with his comments as well. Sports and beyond.
Got to check out the article. Yeah, it was great stuff. Jason?
Dude, as much as we just went through in two segments, like half of what
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Explains way more.
Yeah. It also now you understand why he was like so holding some back for the piece at VSiN.com. Check it out. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take it.